And that was that bastard bard of the boulevard, Phil Free, singing Have a Happy Fucking Day near Logos yesterday on the mall. You can get a copy of his tape. Does he have a tape? Not sure. Give a call to Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is what you're listening to right now, at 427-4523. 427-4523. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to 96.3 FM Santa Cruz on your FM dial. This is Bathrobes Pier Robert Norris talking to you. And for the next 2 hours, just like we do every week this time, it's Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be listening to Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. That's the show that concerns itself with civil rights for the poor in Santa Cruz. What have we got this week? Let's see. Well, we got interviews on the mall. We got a follow-up from Southern California's Buena Park and the attempt to jail, fine, and close down the homeless sheltering activities of Reverend Wiley Drake, the otherwise controversial pastor, Baptist pastor, who's also a notorious homophobe and led the Baptists in pushing for the boycott of Disney productions and Disneyland as part of Drake's protest against Disney's so-called pornographic movies, ultra-violent movies, anti-family, quote-unquote, movies, as well as the domestic benefits for gay partners issue, which came up at Disneyland. Drake is wrong and bigoted, in my opinion, on these issues. However, his action on supporting the homeless people in his town I regard as quite courageous, worthy of our support, and certainly worthy of following in the news. So we're going to be hearing the update from Reverend Wiley Drake on that issue. We're also going to be following updates from San Jose, which, as you may have heard several weeks ago, I guess even almost a month ago now, had a large protest in front of City Hall, San Jose City Hall, against police abuse, targeting young people and Hispanic people who were doing a drum circle. We will, of course, be following the curfew adventures, the last 3 days now before Santa Cruz City Council returns to coronate the curfew, the youth curfew that will make it illegal for anyone under 16 to be out after 11 o'clock at night unless they're going to and from a scheduled event or movie, a political demonstration with a parent and so forth. The teen curfew will remove the last window of opportunity for younger people to be out late, even with their parents' permission. We're going to talk some more about that. Last week our show had lots on that issue. And I hope that you show up at City Council meeting in 2 days, on Tuesday, July 23rd at 7 p.m., or call the City Council at 429-3550. That's 429-3550 to tell them to just say no to this teen curfew. It's just not a good solution to very real problems that parents have and that exist downtown to some extent and also in some areas, other areas of the city. It's a reality that there's some bad things happening out there, but it's also a reality that a blanket curfew is not a way to deal with them. We'll be reading from the ACLU, the American Civil Liberty Union's position on curfews, which I think is still a good one. And I still think you can affect this issue by giving a call to City Council at 429-3550, their 24-hour number, and telling them you want them to add as one of the exceptions to the curfew circumstances where a teenager has permission, written permission from his parent to be out. And if some are concerned that such permission might be forged, San Francisco actually has a curfew law, or did have until it sunsetted, mercifully, that allowed just that to happen through a sort of a documented system of curfew forms. And calls to council members Kennedy, Rotkin, and Byers are the people to call for the swing votes on the curfew issue, which again will be coming up Tuesday, the 22nd, 7 p.m. at City Council, 809 Ocean Street, right across from the public library and the Santa Cruz City Auditorium, or Civic Auditorium. Several shows ago, we had an interview with a man who described in detail how he was pepper sprayed by an individual he identified as the owner of Wash Rock, which is the 24-hour cafe cum laundromat, which is located right next to Kinko's in downtown Santa Cruz. He said he had contacted an attorney and was pursuing legal remedies against the owner. I was particularly interested because apparently, by his account, he called the police to file a complaint against the owner who had reportedly pepper sprayed him for not leaving quickly enough after having used the bathroom. I haven't been able to contact the owner. I did call Wash Rock yesterday to get some details on another incident that allegedly occurred there. And in fact, Wash Rock has come up in some of the accounts of different folks on the street as being hostile to folks with no money, to being nasty to them, to being downright physically abusive. And again, it tends to focus on an individual that they identify as the owner, a fellow with white hair and a ponytail. But again, I want you to remember as you hear these accounts that this is one side of the story, and any further information about Wash Rock, either pro or con, I would definitely like to hear, because I think that we need to know the whole picture. And if you have any comments on this, I want to add, if any Wash Rock employees are listening, or the Wash Rock owner, or anybody who supports Wash Rock and has seen them acting in a positive fashion toward poorer people and homeless people and folks on the street, folks coming in, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. That's my phone number. Also, the phone number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the organization I work with, concerned with civil rights for the poor.
So I'm talking to
James Magner, James E. Magner. I was attacked by this guy at Wash Rock. He's the owner.
Can you describe what he looks like?
He's got glasses, little ponytail, kind of chubby. I don't know, not blonde, brown, you know.
And when did this happen?
This happened like a week ago, something like that. I just got my CPAP machine in today. It's where you have sleep apnea, so you like get very sleepy and you cat nap and so. And I have like 15% vision in my right eye. Now there was a guy that was drunk in there just before that, and he threw him out in a rather violent way that he didn't need to.
What time of day was this?
This is in the evening. This is about 2, 3 in the morning.
You're talking about Wash Rock, which is the laundromat cafe.
Right next to Kinko's.
Next to Kinko's.
Right next to Kinko's on Front Street. And I'm absolutely blind. Now, I had bought grapes. I had bought a drink, and I had bought like a pastry, an expensive pastry. And I sat down, and I was eating it. And I clicked the floor and the chairs to get over to the garbage can to put the paper in. He said, all right, enough of clicking that loud, enough of the show. I said, it's not a show, and I need to click this loud to get back and forth. He said, one more word out of you, and you're out of here. And I said, who are you? He said, I own the place. I said, I'm a patron who's blind, who's in here. And, you know, I just bought some grapes. I bought some of your stuff. I'm minding my own business. I just want to read a book, you know, and drink a cup of coffee. He said, that's it. And he grabs my shoulder. And I said, all right, I'll leave. But I slapped his hand away, and I said, but don't touch me. And I was on my way out, and he grabs me, grabs my lapels, and he starts to grapple with me. At this point, I really start to fight back. And the two of us are almost fit head-to-head. And this woman, this flute player, steps in between us, stops the whole thing, and I stand there and demand that he be arrested there on the spot, assault and battery.
Right.
And he was arrested. He was technically arrested.
Right.
Me and him go to court sometime in August. But the policeman said to me outside when he was alone, he may deny it, but I'll take a lie detector test. He said, Art Danner or whoever the DA is will probably throw this right in the trash because he knows him.
Who was the cop who did the arrest? They didn't put him in handcuffs. They just did a citizen's arrest.
They let him go. They didn't handcuff him, nothing.
But at least they signed. They took a citation.
They gave him a citation. They gave him a ticket. They gave him a time he has to come and all that. Yeah.
And And are you a man who has a residence in town yourself?
Yeah, I live like I can see the Watch Rock from my bathroom window.
And did you get any witnesses who are willing to testify on your behalf?
I got about 5 witnesses that will testify on my behalf.
Really?
And I can subpoena all of them too.
They all
said definitely this man put his hands on Jimmy before Jimmy was trying to get up and split, and he was all over him.
And what is your number? How can you be reached?
458-3610.
458-3610.
I would love.
And you got the phone numbers and names of other people?
I don't have the phone numbers and names of other people, but these officers do. These officers must. I got to go down and I got to find out. I got to get a record and make sure that this doesn't fall through the cracks.
Now, do you mind if we broadcast this information on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
No, I don't mind at all.
Including your phone number?
Including my phone number.
Okay.
I don't mind at all.
Anybody out there has had problems with Wash Rock, I think it's called?
Wash Rock, yeah. Please give a call. He picks and chooses. He wants only the gold card folks in there, and that's it. And he really is selective. People of color, anybody that looks strange at all. Now, I know he's got problems with people with drugs and stuff out front. I know that. That's true. That's a part. But he makes no distinction. He tries to make no discernment at all on, like, who's a good apple, who's a bad apple, so to speak. No, not even tries to. He just, at hair trigger, you know?
How long have you been in town yourself?
4 years. I lived in Santa Cruz for 4 years. I'm a registered voter here. I'm a disabled American. And under the Disabled Americans Act in California, as far as civil court, I forget what they call it.
Well, you have certain rights.
You ask for money as a punishment. What's the word for that?
Punitive damages can be used.
Punitive damages, just based on psychological damage that he left me with for like 2 days, where all I thought about was like eating him alive. But I can think anything I want. I can't act it out.
Right.
Just like he can think he wants to grab me and throw me out of his place because he's sick of people hassling him all day, but he doesn't have the right to put his hands on me.
Did you frequent that place before there?
Plenty of times. I washed my clothes there. I used to frequent the place. I mean, I spent a lot of money there.
Did you observe other problems arising there?
All the time. I observed him, and there's a couple of women behind the counter that, like, seem to really sort of power trip. Or like, all right, that's it, you out of here, bang, you know, and just snap decisions on, like, small nothing items.
Have you been ordered to stay away from there, or are you allowed to go back?
I mean, to me, it's obvious that I dare not even go.
Because it's open to the public.
Uh-huh.
And it's a general public area.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to write up a flyer about what's happened to you and distribute it to people, just like they're doing across the street at Cat and Canary, I understand, regarding discrimination.
Yeah, I know. That was really effective. I wonder if I can get a few friends to, like, help me out with this, you know? That would be great, man, if I could get just a few people out there. Maybe people who've had the same problem with the place to get together with me, and we go by and we stay there and we fucking camp out, man. Because this guy is going way too far. I don't know what his thing is, but he thinks he's a policeman.
Like, and I didn't get you though. I sometimes out of
control. Nothing of the sort.
So what's happening across the street at Cat and Canary? Have you been following that controversy?
Yeah, I have been following that. Apparently the people, this guy came in. Now, the guy has really, really dark skin, right? And the darker someone's skin, there is racism, like, ingrained in America. America's only 200 years old.
Now,
sorry.
Did you actually see any of this, or did you hear
it
secondhand?
I didn't see any of this, but this is what I was told by the actual guy. And he said, He came back with receipts and with shirts and said, you know, the guy was too drunk. I'd like to bring some of these shirts back. Here are the receipts. The person said, hey, hang on a second. The police came. They tried to arrest that person for stealing the shirts. His father or something, the drunk guy, came in and said, no, man, those are my shirts, and they arrested him. They said he apparently had a heart attack in jail because of this. And I don't know how much all that is true, you know, true or not, but I'm talking to these brothers, man. They seem like they wouldn't lie like that.
According to what I heard, he himself was first they held him and said, you know, they were thinking of arresting him. Then he walked across the street. Then they went across the street and did arrest him. Then the fellow who originally had the shirts sent him down, came down to complain, and they arrested him. And then he had a heart attack, is what I heard.
Something that I
got to get more direct information on that.
Yeah. Maybe I was off on that.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open for and our ears open for
the Wash Rock thing. Is the only thing that I can really talk about
authoritative
from first experience.
Thank you very much. Would you be interested in joining I guess we'd call it a civil rights union in town, concerned about making sure that the civil rights of patrons of stores and cafes are not violated by patron owners?
Yeah, absolutely.
By cafe owners?
By merchants, unnecessarily.
Well, I'll give you a call on that, and maybe we'll talk more about
that. It's like, I know the problem the merchants have. I even tried to write up a piece of paper and have the police, the merchants, everyone come and have something mediated in Loudoun Nelson Park. I went to the head of the merchants division
About this issue, you mean?
No, about the issue generally of things being so us and them between the merchants.
How long ago was this?
And the street people. This was about 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Right.
And they said, well, we tried to do it. We refuse to do it anymore. It's almost like it's a closed issue, you know. And implied was it's us or them. It's going to be us, you know. And I've seen the hosts up and down the street hassle people unnecessarily. Not host people, but basically like watch out for where eyesores are and drummers and people smoking dope and stuff like that, radioing into police, you know. It's really out of hand. I don't know why they're being so intense about the so-called... In any community, in the street people community, there's good eggs and bad eggs, so to speak. Just like the merchants. And the merchants think just because they're making it, so to speak, materially, that they have more credibility and more integrity necessarily. And I say that's full of shit.
So you're interested in the civil rights union. Let me know if anyone else is, and we'll talk more about this.
All right.
And there has, over the last few months, been some talk from some folks about a buskers union or beggars union in Santa Cruz to deal with the rather nasty little yellow card that the Downtown Association has been giving out to stores to pass out to patrons to throw at the people on the street who are asking for spare change, and sort of change the ethic of the town from those who want to give charity to kind of a no charity here, move on approach. The idea of a beggars union has come up. David Silva, Green Party candidate for city council, former welfare worker and local Green Party activist, has proposed that. A little sorry he's not with us for this show, because usually we have a report from him on city council and their upcoming shenanigans, but he's off to a Green Party convention up in Arcata. They're having a statewide convention up there this weekend. But the idea of a civil rights union, I think, is an excellent idea. And if anybody has been suffering discrimination downtown from merchants, if there are further reports from Wash Rock or Cat and Canary, other stores of this sort, I think it's really important that this information get out, that folks not just keep these incidents to themselves. We need to really share it, to publicize it, and essentially to stop abusive behavior by merchants by exposing it to the greater conscience of the community, such as it is. So do give a call to 423-4833 if you've suffered some untoward incident downtown, If it happens to you, write about it. Write it down, get all the details, and get in touch. 423-4833. And let's see what we can do about it. I think that there are many ways of proceeding that are peaceful, that involve kind of a public dialogue, that involve necessarily, though, we have to kind of muster our own power. Because, unfortunately, the merchants and politicians of this town have shown that that's what they respect. However reasonable you may be, however fair you may be, if you're of a certain economic class and you're confronting someone else of a different economic class who has more economic clout as part of the ongoing developmental rush that's happening downtown, then you're in trouble. So that's why we have to band together. It's the same reason that unions were necessary and are necessary to support the rights of working people, however corrupt and unresponsive they've become over the years. The importance of people coming together to provide solidarity for each other really is crucial. Yesterday I contacted WashRock to try to get some response, and here's what happened.
Hello, WashRock?
Yes?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you know anything about reports that a man was pepper sprayed by your owner about a month ago?
Do I know anything about it?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And there's another fellow who reports that he was, your owner had a complaint by the filed against him for assault.
Assault? No, I'm not aware of any of that.
Okay, just wondering, we got these reports, wondered if it was happening or not.
Oh, well, I don't know. We've had problems with people coming in here causing problems, and the, you know, maybe in self-defense he's done stuff like that, but I don't know. I mean, if we have a problem getting someone out and the cops don't get here, I'm sure that's the way he'll handle it. But, I mean, I don't see it as any brutalness on his part. He's just trying to protect his business and his employees.
Right. And how does he treat his employees?
Very well.
Okay. And you guys are open 24 hours a day.
Yes, we are. And because of the way that he has us, you know, going by what rules we go by and what he's trying to make happen around here, it's gotten a lot better.
Uh-huh.
So.
What kind of problems were you having before?
Just loitering, people hanging out and destroying our bathrooms.
Uh-huh. So you have a 24-hour bathroom?
Yeah.
For the patrons. So.
Yeah. Only for the only for people that are. So we've enforced a rule with employees asking in a convictive way, I guess, that they're not, you know, that they're not employed or they're not customers, and it's worked out because you kind of see what response you get from them, and it works out pretty good.
Is there a person on the night shift regularly, or do you kind of have different folks on the night shift?
We have two regulars on the night shift.
They're not in right now, I take it.
No.
What's your name?
I can't give information. No.
Okay. Just wondering. I'm calling you because this is a Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh.
We wanted to know what was going on. We got reports that one guy was disabled, was attacked by your owner, and has filed a complaint with the police. Another guy.
Oh, that's all bull crap.
He wasn't attacked?
No.
You were there, and you, what happened?
It was just all just a misunderstanding of the person not wanting to leave, I guess. I have no idea.
So you didn't actually see it yourself?
No, other people saw it. That's not what happened at all. This is just people angry because they're not allowed to loiter in here.
So is anybody there who maybe saw this incident?
Is anybody here that saw Kirk be mean to somebody and kick them out because they were disabled? Hello?
Hello. Hi, this is Robert calling from Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got a report from a fellow that he had ordered a cup of coffee or something to that effect, sat down, had an altercation with your owner. Were you a witness to that situation? Or?
What is this for?
Free radio.
Radio?
Yeah.
What do you categorize this as, gossip?
No, this is a report from a man who specifically said he filed a police complaint against your owner, and that the police took the report and that it's going to court. Is that not true?
I actually have no knowledge of this.
Okay, well...
For calling.
Sorry?
Thank you for calling. Have a nice one.
Sure, you too.
So it looks like at least one employee at WashRock isn't talking at this time. Perhaps she didn't know anything about it. Perhaps she felt unwilling or uncomfortable talking about the circumstance on the air to Free Radio. Who knows? But it sounds like something's happening. We get a similar negative report from another person. and that interview follows.
Streets downtown of Pacific Avenue, right in front of Palace Stationery, talking to
Bruce
on July 19th. And Bruce, you have something to tell us about Wash Rock, the all-night cafe laundromat right next to Kinko's?
Yes, we were in there doing my friend's laundry. I was sitting there. It just happened to start raining that day, and I was in there doing a watercolor, waiting for his laundry to get done, when the management came up to me and told me that I'd been sitting there too long, that I'd been there for hours.
How long had you been there?
Well, we were there for about maybe 45 minutes. We were just wrapping up the laundry at that time period. Mm-hmm. And his tone, his attitude was very...
White hair and a ponytail?
Yes, that's him. His attitude was very, very negative, and he was treating me like I was some type of subhuman of some sort. Mm-hmm. And we just happened to have a burrito from Taco Bell across the street.
Right.
And he is saying that we can't eat in there and so forth, and that he ought to shove that burrito down my throat or something of this sort.
I see.
And he just trying to agitate me into a confrontation to where I would not be using my intelligence and just walk away from it. And he almost provoked me to, you know, shoving the burrito down his throat.
Uh-huh.
But instead, we walked on out and swore never to go back again.
How long ago was this?
What was it, about a month ago? Yeah, about a month ago.
And your name again is?
It's Bruce.
And you, and your name is?
Kenny.
Kenny, anything to add to that description?
Just also, while we were eating burrito, he came out and said there was no food allowed from the outside there, and at the next table there was ladies that had food from Boston Market eating, and he didn't say nothing to them.
Were these women, should we say, pretty well-dressed, upper middle class?
Yes. Yes, they were. They looked more society-like.
How do you know the food was from Boston Market?
Because they had the containers right there, the bag and everything.
Did you bring this to his attention?
No, because he was talking to Bruce.
And this was outside or inside the cafe?
It was inside.
About what time of day was it?
Probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
In the evening?
Yes.
And about when was this? What date, more or less?
Like a Wednesday?
A couple weeks ago?
No, like a month.
About a month ago?
Yeah.
Well, I was a little concerned about this latest flyer which we have out, which talks about Wash Rock, since I haven't actually spoken to the owner. But when I called their staff and spoke to them, they were not particularly helpful, and so I put it out anyway. So.
They came down and just started harassing me and Bruce and left the other people alone.
And you were customers there?
Yes.
And what have you done?
I was doing my laundry, washed dry, bought soap, everything.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say when you told him this?
He was still a little belligerent, kept on Bruce about eating the burrito.
Did he attempt to have you evicted as well?
No, he didn't say nothing to me.
I see. But he harassed your friend?
Yes.
He harassed you, Bruce?
Yes, he did. He tried to provoke me into a confrontation. Is exactly what he was trying to do. He's, as if I was a bully, if he was a bully on the block, saying, you know.
Right.
That type of
get you to throw the first blow.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Wash Rock needs close watching, and if anybody wants to call in with another story, another side about how courteous and polite and helpful they are, because I like 24-hour cafes, and Santa Cruz needs more of them, like to hear about that, too. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
And finally, determined to get more information about Wash Rock, I spoke to street musician Mark, who presented me with this account.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
You said you've had, some uncomfortable times at Wash Rock?
Yeah, well, it seems like, in that area down there that it's kind of hard to access a restroom, and so I just happened to kind of go real bad walking back from the flats, and, that's the nearest place, and I said, can I use your bathroom? They said, are you a customer? I said, well, maybe I have been, or maybe I will be in the future, and they didn't seem to even like my comment, and the one girl narked me off to the manager and told me I was some kind of stumble bum or some kind of shit. And she told the manager that what I was like and that she shouldn't give me a token and all that. So I left them alone and walked over towards the bathrooms and noticed all of the coin receptacles on the doors and everything. I thought, this is ridiculous, and I just left. And I'm going to leave them far behind.
Another satisfied, or should I say, utterly dissatisfied customer, or non-customer, of Wash Rocks. Thank you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, the city council hired the services of Daniel Robin and Kimberly Hallinan, who are professional mediators, to set up a downtown code of conduct that would kind of meet the requirements of everyone. And in the course of those negotiations, I and others brought forward some ideas that there might be some kind of mediation service between folks on the street who have problems with merchants or cafe owners and the people who run those shops or work in them. And actually, there were some successful mediations at Georgiana's. There was a mediation with a street jeweler, a woman who had felt she'd been discriminated against by the manager of Georgiana's. And we called in the mediators, and they worked it all out very quickly without protests or demonstrations. Georgiana's, of course, now bars me because of pressure from Neil Coonerty. Georgiana's is the cafe, for those who don't know it, that's also kind of informally known as the Bookshop Santa Cruz Cafe. It's right next to the Bookshop Santa Cruz in downtown Santa Cruz. Neil Coonerty has been gunning for me for years since I did high-profile protests against his his reactionary legislation to make it illegal to sit downtown, illegal to play in front of a street cafe except with the permission of the cafe owner, barring nighttime homeless demonstrations, making it illegal to ask for spare change peacefully after dark. He was sort of the spearhead in that movement and quite vocal on the issue, and also he barred a number of people from his bookshop. He claimed he did so because I had targeted him and provoked violence against his shop. I believe his actions so antagonized some people that indeed somebody threw a rock through his window, a small rock through one of his windows, and you know, that isn't terribly helpful to those of us who are trying to raise public consciousness about stupid laws that some merchants in their short-sighted agenda have imposed on us. But anyway, he barred me several years ago, and when he saw me sitting in Georgiana's cafe, he went over and told the management he wanted me barred from there as well, and they bent over for that one, and that happened about 3 or 4 months ago. Which actually I mentioned on a recent flyer, and perhaps that's the next thing we should talk about, not so much my barring, that's just what's happening, that kind of goes with the territory if you're out there as a high-profile activist and they decide they want to do it. But what happened yesterday in front of Georgiana's and Bookshop Santa Cruz, more in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, it was on the other side of the flower shop, so it's a bit up from Georgiana's, was the sort of city memorial to musical saw player and IWW communist union organizer Tom Scribner. We call him a labor organizer better. He was a Communist Party member at one time, as well as a member of the Industrial Workers of the World, the Wobblies, as they're called, who predated the Communist Party. All these folks were people who did things. They were out on the streets defending the rights of people who were thrown out of homes, defending the rights of people who were kicked out of jobs unfairly, defending the rights of people who are being paid shit wages. And Scribner used to live in the St. George Hotel before it became a kind of a upscale, yuppie claptrap, you know, sort of a low-scale, hippie claptrap for a while. And he was he also played the saw, musical saw. And yesterday, the Mayor Matthews presided over a kind of a celebration of saw players to honor Scribner, whose statue sits right in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz. Now, some of you who follow the show regularly may remember that about 2 or 3 months ago, police ticketed and arrested, I guess ticketed is the word, well, they may have arrested him, I'm not sure, a man named Chaz Wright, who was sitting on the base of the Scribner statue, which is, you know, at butt level. A lot of people have sat on it. I have stood on it when addressing crowds there at demonstrations. And yesterday, people sat on it as well without being arrested by police. But Chaz is a sort of a street-level guy who actually is a local entrepreneur. He sells items called fidgets, which are little doodads you play with in your fingers to reduce stress. Kids like them. You might find them interesting. Anyway, he went to court to show that he was being harassed by the police. He had the testimony of Tom Noddy, the bubble man, the street performer, who, along with others, helped organize and set down the street performer's guidelines back in 1980,
which are still supposed to be in force, an informal agreement, a consensus agreement that musicians would play for an hour if asked to move on, that merchants would not call the police, but instead would give folks who are outside an hour to play and then ask them to go, or ask them to go and then they would move within the hour, that people would rotate spaces and so forth. It was a sort of an informal set of understandings designed to head off the entanglements and harshness and difficulties of a legal actions that unfortunately seem to have to some extent replaced that, although as I understand there is some use of the street performers guidelines. It's kind of an ongoing battle between street performers and merchants at Palace Stationery, a store I still patronize. And apparently the musicians still hang out there, and their musicians aren't getting the same kind of hassle that, let's say, musician Skidmark Bob Duran was getting up by the Alibaba's Cafe, or down by the Vault, or down by Delmar's Jewelers. I'm not sure if I got the name right, the jeweler that's near the coffee roasting company. And Phil Free has gotten some hassle on the street, too, the musician you heard at the beginning of this show. But in any case, the Tom Scribner statue memorial that happened yesterday was a sort of I wrote a flyer about it, and I distributed it at the memorial, and I wish we had had more activists, because I think the best thing to do to city officials who show up and try to sort of build their careers and misrepresent the histories of real radicals is to set them straight. And Tom Scribner was a street musician who didn't take too kindly to police hassling poor people on the street and would have been adamantly opposed to the anti-homeless laws that Mayor Matthews was vigorously in favor of. Matthews also favors the current curfew, the current teen curfew for those under 16 that's coming up at City Council on July 22nd, be there, 7 p.m., to vote that sucker down, or to encourage the City Council to vote it down, speak out against it. Anyway, Matthews was there kind of building on Tom Scribner, transforming him into some kind of tourist kitsch item and some cutesy little folksy thing that could serve the city's purposes and was now sort of a draw for those who wanted to sell knickknacks downtown. And I found this very offensive, and more important, the current laws against poor people downtown, both in terms of the right to sleep anywhere in Santa Cruz, the right to sit down on the street when you're not blocking it, the right to peacefully spare change, the increased police hostility that have driven people away from Friendship Corner or Hippie Corner back at Cathcart and Pacific, all requires people to speak out at public occasions where public officials are appearing, and this is one of those occasions. So I brought this flyer down, and I'm going to read it to you in case you didn't get a chance to hear it or see it. If you want a copy of it, you can contact me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. It reads like this: City strikes sour note. Hypocritical, quote, honor for dead radical while city harasses live homeless and young. Communist IWW union organizer Tom Scribner may be getting a photo and a plaque in his honor at the Scribner statue in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, but the city and merchant policies mock his memory. Scribner was a radical activist who supported the rights of poor and homeless people against government bureaucrats, police repression, and merchant discrimination. And then I go through a series of incidents lately, some of which you've heard discussed. Victims of Wash Rock, the 24-hour cafe next to Kinko's, report physical abuse from management. One man says he was pepper sprayed and has consulted an attorney to sue. A second disabled man filed a police complaint of assault and battery against the owner. Downtown Association's Cards Not Kindness program marches on with yellow cards for patrons to throw at panhandlers instead of spare change. The cards list phone numbers of services that are full or ineffective. The point being, don't bother us with money here. Go to these shelter services and get food and shelter. That's the cover story. The reality is that such things don't give you food and shelter. Promises from program organizer Janaea Kelly have not been kept, that real food service times and locations would be substituted for bogus numbers and the errors corrected. Still unavailable is a Downtown Association phone for poor people to phone to contact these services, or more frequently, their answering machines, because that's what you get when you call the numbers that the merchants have put out and distributed to the up and down the mall for businesses to give out to patrons so patrons can ignore spare changers.
The city's 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. sleeping and blanket bans are still in force. Activists are still being dragged through the courts for peaceful protest. A trumped-up case has been leveled against a black homeless activist, that's Miguel Balderos, in order to blame and smear homeless protesters generally. Even though less than 30 of the city's 1,000 homeless people have a legal place to sleep, the city has taken no action.
Your name is?
My name's Tree.
And how long have you been in town?
About 3 weeks.
And you know, you look like you could be anywhere from 14 to 25. And you're actually...
I'm 22. I'll be 23 on August 7th.
I'm afraid we're going to have to check your ID anyway, ma'am. Can we call your mom?
No. My mom lives in Wisconsin. If you guys want to pay the long distance charge, fine.
How has Santa Cruz been treating you for you?
Absolutely shitty.
Specifics?
Specifically, my husband got thrown in jail for jaywalking. Specifics are that you can't use the restroom in any of the restaurants around here, even though you go in there one night and spend your last money at it. They won't let you use the restroom the next morning. That happened at the Acapulco, straight across the street. Specifics, the cops are complete dickheads. They stop you and harass you for sitting on the fucking sidewalk, for sitting too close to the people walking by, for sitting too close to the street, for sitting too close to the city property. You can't tie up your cat or dog to any city property. You can't sell your jewelry on the street unless you pay however much money it costs to get a business license. No one will give me a job. I've applied every single place downtown, but they won't give me a job because I don't have a phone and I don't have a home. I don't know how they expect me to get a phone and a home if I don't have a job to get money for it. Basically, Santa Cruz is treating me pretty shitty. They have police patrolling downtown 24/7, but they do not have any cops in the hood, so I can't walk down there as a female alone. I can't walk down there to the beach to see the ocean unless I go like a completely different way. The boardwalk fucking sucks. It's totally overpriced. No one in their right mind can afford to go on any of those rides. No one can afford to buy any food down there. They don't even have nutritious food down there. It's all sugar and shit. And the gangs like own the boardwalk. I mean, I can't even go to the boardwalk because I feel like there's just so much racism and shit. And the super cops are walking down there. I got searched on the 4th of July. Some cops came up to me on the beach and made my husband and I empty out all our belongings, our toothbrush, our toothpaste, all our shit out of our bag because he claims he saw smoking marijuana. We had no marijuana. We had no pipe. We had nothing on us at all. And he just completely shone the light in our face, made us sit down and took 20 minutes of our time emptying everything that we own out onto the sand. And then, you know, just like apologized for the inconvenience and walked away. I'm ready to get out of here.
Where do you sleep at night?
That's none of your business.
Which I mean is, do you sleep in a vehicle? Do you sleep outside?
I sleep outside.
And have you been hassled for sleeping?
No. But I know people that have. I know people that have been pissed on, and kicked in the head by cops for sleeping in the bushes.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Here in Santa Cruz.
And do you know how recently and how many people we're talking about?
I'm talking about one specific person, and it was about 4 or 5 days ago.
And do you know what location he was in when this happened to him?
No, I don't.
Well, tell that man to get in touch. Call me at 423-HUFF.
Last year, for 7.5 months, dozens of homeless people and supporters every night spent their time in front of City Hall and their days in front of City Hall as well, holding up signs, passing out petitions, and just generally being there in a vigil to make the city aware of how it was treating homeless people in terms of the right to sleep at night. This is an issue I always bring up in the show and have to bring up because, unfortunately, it remains a crime for you to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz or to cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz in all public places and most private places. The only exceptions are a fenced-in side yard or a backyard, or if you are in a vehicle parked on a church parking lot with the church permission, no more than 3 vehicles in the parking lot. And unfortunately, that doesn't count for too many churches and too many vehicles and too many people. Certainly nowhere near the number of people that are sleeping every night in Santa Cruz. Well, the man who founded that vigil, or one of them, actually, there were two, Dan Hopkins and Sean Alimi, goes to trial on Friday, July 25th at 1:30 p.m. in Municipal Court, Department 1, Judge Tom Kelly's court, or Kangaroo Kelly, as I call him. It's the continuation of a trial that began this spring where Dan Hopkins is facing dozens of tickets, $162 tickets, and he's being defended by an attorney who's offered her time. She's a much overworked woman, Catnip Kate Wells,
And I've got a press release here I want to read to you about it, which kind of summarizes what happened. And for those of you who know about it, bear with me and come on down and call your friends and tell them to support Dan Hopkins at 1:30 on Friday, July 25th. For those of you who don't, listen in. Former mayor to testify in jail for sleep trial, homeless activists back in court as council ignores shelter crisis. The sleep crime trial of civil rights worker Dan Hopkins, co-founder of the 7.5-month-long City Hall Sleepers protest, resumes in Department 1, 1:30 p.m. Friday, July 25th. Scheduled to testify is council member and former mayor Mike Rotkin. Dan Hopkins received scores of $162 citations for sleeping outside at City Hall last year, at a time when there was usually no legal place to fall asleep within Santa Cruz city limits. Pro bono attorney Kate Wells will argue that the ban is unconstitutional in that it is vague and violates basic human rights. The court will also be given testimony that Hopkins, a homeless man, needed to violate this law for his own health and safety as a matter of medical necessity. Hopkins began the City Hall Sleepers protest to spotlight the failure of City Council to take any significant action protecting Santa Cruz's 1,000-plus homeless community with the closure of the homeless campground at Coral Street in December 1995 and the closing of the Winter Shelter Armory in March 1996. Hopkins will testify that he felt the safest as well as the most politically effective place to sleep was in the Santa Cruz City Hall courtyard next to the police station. Despite a six-hour City Council homelessness special session on March 4, 1997, the council has taken no action to open additional shelter, to reopen the homeless campground, to designate a safe haven in some other part of the city, to decriminalize sleeping until adequate shelter exists, to make any modifications in the city's sleeping ban and blanket ban laws, or to halt the flood of sleep crime trials in the courts. At present, less than 30 of Santa Cruz's estimated 1,000 homeless can sleep legally each night, in spite of council claims that police are only enforcing the ban on complaint. Sleep crime tickets and warrants appear on the court calendar regularly. Council member and former Mayor Mike Rotkin is expected to testify in defense of his jail for sleep policy, which includes over 370 tickets and arrests at the protest last year. When the City Planning Department last summer pressured Father Mike Marini to close his homeless shelter at Holy Cross Church, Rotkin publicly commented, quote, "It is clearly illegal and not the low-key thing the city had in mind, so at this point the city has no choice but to take action." Santa Cruz Sentinel, July 3, 1996. In the May 27th council debate on the March 4th recommendations, Rotkin refused to support independent oversight of homeless services and opposed surveying the churches to find out what shelter space was actually available. Last winter, he crushed council debate on a winter shelter emergency proposal through parliamentary maneuver. Recently, he supported a teen curfew, even though there are no facilities for homeless youth. Vigil co-founder and Feed the People worker Sean Alimi goes to trial in September for both infraction and misdemeanor sleep crime offenses, facing jail and fines, or peaceful protest and sleeping at the City Hall Sleepers protest vigil. And again, that's Dan Hopkins going to trial. Former Mayor Mike Rotkin, or Riot Act Rotkin, as some of us call him, testifying at his trial on Friday, July 25th, 1997, at 1:30 in Department 1. Come on down and tell the news media it's happening, too, if you're the kind of person who calls into radio talk shows. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and you're listening to the Sunday, July 20th edition of Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz. Direct attacks on activists seem to be continuing. As some of you may know, been following the activist scene around homeless issues. The FBI has been in town, well, it was in town 2 or 3 months ago, questioning activist Jim Costner of the Revolutionary Coalition, Linda LeMaster of Housing Now, and other people. And more recently, Costner was thrown in jail in an incident that involved, he came to police attention because he was putting up a large banner on the avenue. On the fence right across from Woolworth's, talking about the rights of political prisoners. And that frequently that's where banners are put next to tables there. You may have seen them. That's one of the last places where you can actually sit down on the sidewalk without being more than 10 feet out into the sidewalk, a crazy law. It's the no-sitting law we have But if you sit within 10 feet of a store window or entranceway, you are illegal and subject to a $162 ticket in Santa Cruz. So the only place you can now sit in Santa Cruz is along a fence. And the fences, of course, are rapidly disappearing as the town develops. Anyway, Costner was hauled off to jail after being given a ticket for having a banner up on this fence, which may turn out to be a private fence. It's interesting. The police somehow feel they can regulate. Well, they aren't trying to regulate. They're trying to harass. And here's an account from musician Billy Starr of how he got a ticket when he was trying to distribute literature near the Host headquarters. That's the green-shirted gremlins who run around narking on local folks. They wear green shirts, and they are supposedly hospitality agents. They were established by action from our great council member, Catherine Byers, the city council liberal. Here's Billy Starr talking about what happened with him and Officer Eveleth some months ago. And though it happened some months ago, Billy is still feeling the reverberations of the incident. Here he is talking about it.
Our local musician and environmental activist. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how are you doing?
And you've just shown me a ticket. Actually, it's a ticket for a warrant in Judge Kelsey's court where you are ordered to pay $270 and appear on what apparently you told me was a what? Sitting on the planter ticket?
Okay, I feel like it was entrapment.
What was the original ticket?
Okay, I was circulating a petition for both Big Mountain and for homeless people's rights. And so Officer Eveleth told me that I was blocking the sidewalk and to go get a table.
And where were you sitting on the sidewalk?
Over there in front of the Downtown Host Association.
Were you in the middle of the sidewalk? Were you on the side of the sidewalk? Where were you?
I was on the edge of the street part of the sidewalk, but he said I was blocking traffic.
In your opinion, were you blocking the sidewalk?
No, and nobody seemed to be impaired by my presence.
Somebody was walking around you on both sides?
No. And so he, in order to make him more comfortable, right, I said, well, how about if I get a table, you know? Uh-huh. That way everything would be consolidated.
Right.
And he said, okay. So I went back and got a table, but I didn't have a chair, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I sat on the edge of a planter box and continued circulating the petition, and immediately it was like he was waiting to pounce on me, and he came over and gave me a ticket for sitting on
the planter. Were you damaging the planter?
No.
Have you seen other people doing something similar?
People sit on them all the time, you know.
In fact, you're sitting on a planter right now.
Yeah.
I may have to call the police. And there are a number of other people sitting on the planter, too. Actually, this is a different kind of planter, but the fact of the matter is all the planters downtown cannot be damaged by sitting on them, at least the best
That's
of my understanding.
That's the fact of concrete.
However, police officers are using things like sitting near a building, sitting on a planter, sitting on the sidewalk, to drive away people that they don't want downtown.
It's a Jim Crow law, just like they had in Mississippi back in the 60s, you know, where black people had to drink out of separate water fountains or walk down a separate side of the street. Now it's American caste system where the poor are the new whipping
boy.
You know.
So you're going to court on this ticket. According to your court date is the 12th of July, actually August, sorry, at 8:30.
How did they get up on
That's in Department 4 for anyone who wants to go to the court arraignment of Billy Starr. Actually, the best thing for people to do, in my opinion, is to go to your trial if you choose to plead not guilty, which I suggest you do.
Yeah.
You also said that after getting this ticket, you diligently attempted to see if it would ever show up in court. And went to court several times,
yes,
and
I
couldn't
two
find it.
Times
right.
to the courtroom and tried to comply with the whole thing, and it was never in their computers, right?
And then suddenly it appeared, and you were told you had a warrant out.
Right, and
for
I never
$270.
I never received any mail pertaining to the case, and I was totally unaware that
this
I
was the first you heard of it. Well, I hope on August 8th you are successful. You certainly can plead not guilty to all charges. In fact, the failure to appear charge is a misdemeanor, and you can get a jury trial on that.
Yeah, well, how is it they figured that the for sitting...
Hey, Eddie.
For sitting on a concrete planter box, that I get a $270 fine?
It's a failure to appear that they're raising the fine for, and apparently it sounds like their problem, not yours, but you're being made to pay for it. I wish you luck.
Welcome to Santa Cruz. You're already from Santa Cruz. You probably already know me. Because of so many of them, we need to update our policies every so often.
Marvin, and let you know a few of the guidelines for your shopping adventure here with us today. Like, don't sit by a window. Don't sit within 6 feet of a window. And 10 feet of a doorway. 10 feet of a doorway. And within 50 feet of a change machine and 75 feet of a person teller.
Whoa!